com.
We're back. This is Raymond Francis. You're listening to the Beyond Health Show, and we have with us a guest. His name is Michael Shaw, and Michael is the CEO of Interscan Corporation. This is a Los Angeles-based manufacturer of toxic gas detection instrumentation, and these products are used in more than 80 countries, and they're customer lists includes some of the most prestigious industrial companies, research center, and government agencies, as well as hospitals. And what they do, what this instrumentation does, some of it does, is it detects the presence of something called ethylene oxide. And you want to detect the presence because you don't want this stuff leaking out around everything. So if it is, you want to know about it. But what is ethylene oxide used for? Well, it's used to sterilize things in hospital sterilizing departments. And as a result of selling this instrumentation, Michael Shaw has been in and out of a lot of hospitals and knows a lot about what goes on in there. And he's going to tell us about it. And Michael, welcome to the Beyond Health Show.
Well, thank you very much, Raymond. Pleased to be here.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you. Because, again, I mean, you know, I talk about blockbuster information. I mean, one of the things that, you know, here you are, your company makes this instrumentation, and you go into hospitals, and you observe what's going on in the hospitals, and the conclusion you've come to, I guess, is that there is a lot of hospital-caused infections out there.
Well, you know, I wish I could say it was an original conclusion, but certainly the Centers for Disease Control, in fact, says there are about 2 million such infections per year, causing somewhere between 90 and 100,000 deaths.
Well, coming from the CDC, I mean, that sounds huge. 2 million hospital-caused infections and 90,000 deaths. But the truth is, that's probably greatly understated.
It's probably greatly understated because the hospitals obviously have no incentive to report this, and as your listeners will understand, a lot of this is explained away as, well, you know, this is, when you're in a hospital, there's sick people around and so on, there's pathogens around, and well, Mrs. Jones, we did everything we could for them and so on. It, I suppose, will take the deaths of several celebrities to even put this on the radar screen, because some of your readers may be familiar with the Dick Schaap case, who was a fairly well-known sportscaster for ABC, came in a couple of years ago to what was thought of as a prestigious hospital in New York City for a quote-unquote minor surgery involving a hip transplant, I believe it was, and died of a nosocomial, which is the word for a medical personnel caused infection. And it took a couple of years of investigation by attorneys and so on, hired by his widow. And now there's a big lawsuit against this hospital. But the only media coverage, and my PR guy and I looked extensively for it, was a blip on ABC, because I guess they felt they had to fly the flag for their ex-guy, you know.
Yeah, well, but it's if you get an infection in the hospital and die from it, it's just a side effect. So, you know, should never worry about side effects.
Pretty serious side effect, I'd say.
Well, yeah, but it's still just a side effect, you know. It's, so what if you're dead? You know, it's nothing to worry about. You've apparently got a lot of horror stories like that.
Well, I guess, you know, that all the horror stories can be summarized under the sort of title that the most important thing in healthcare today is cost. That's the most important parameter, and I think you'd have to look deep to find what the second one is. So where we got into it, as you mentioned, was that we make instruments to detect leaks of ethylene oxide, which is extensively used as a sterilant. And that's very nice, except the problem with ethylene oxide is that the cycle time of using it is fairly long. So the hospital industry had always been looking for quicker ways to, quote-unquote, sterilize the goods. Unfortunately, some of these methods don't work very well, and I guess that's just collateral damage. So where we were kind of pulled kicking and screaming, you might say, into this whole infection control thing is that although the ethylene oxide detection is not the only thing we do, it represented a reasonably large part of the instruments that we sell. So we, as we were seeing these alternative methods being proposed that, you know, we knew from reading the literature didn't have the same outcomes, we thought we'd at least try to find out what was going on. And I guess much to our chagrin, the cost cutting is just the major factor, and that's probably the biggest cause of this. The other cause, of course, is that many of these people that work in these departments are very overworked. They're the lowest paid, and it's just an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I years ago, I guess when I was a boy, they sterilized things with what, high pressure steam. They put them in an autoclave or
yes.
something. Yeah. And they don't do that anymore, or do they?
Well, okay. The high pressure steam is let's rate it. The best way to sterilize something, the number one way, which isn't used very much because it's impractical, is just heat. Just great heat will kill the spores, kill everything.
Uh-huh.
All right. But in the practical sense, as you mentioned, high-pressure steam autoclave is the way to do it. And indeed, it's still used for goods that, of course, can take the heat of steam. But with the proliferation of the so-called less invasive surgical techniques that have plastic flexible structure,
uh-huh.
arthroscopes, laparoscopes, and so on, many of these cannot be sterilized with steam, and
sure.
you have to use other techniques.
Yeah, the heat's too much for the plastic, so you
right.
got to look for another way. And then they found what, ethylene oxide.
Well, ethylene oxide has been around for a long time, but it became more popular when these other surgical techniques, got to be more popular. So there's overwhelming studies for decades showing the efficacy of ethylene oxide, but. Of course, it's thought to be a carcinogen, so you have to be careful in using it, and so on. So there was some pressure from that side to look for alternative techniques. And by the way, some of these alternative techniques are probably okay, but it just when the overriding force, as I've probably said a couple of times already, is cost, this is not a good thing, because you're going to cut corners, you're going to try to overcome the nosocomial infection problem with loading people up on antibiotics, which is probably one of your favorite topics.
Oh, yeah, you bet. Yeah, nobody should take antibiotics. But, if you get sick from them, it's just a side effect, so it's nothing to worry about.
Well, yeah, I mean, and as we said, there's a lot of side effects. I mean, the other thing that comes in to some extent, although I must admit it's a small factor, is this sort of credentialism that goes on. I mean, one of the articles I wrote for a trade magazine, we mentioned a particular so-called top-rated cardiac surgeon in New York City who had hepatitis C and was proven to have infected at least three patients. You would have thought that this gentleman would have at least have worn gloves during these surgical techniques, or especially the so-called sternal closure. However, I guess the good news is that he is wearing gloves now. The bad news is that it took months for them to persuade the great man to change his surgical technique. And the ironic thing was, on this particular story, that as this hospital was audited by the so-called Cardiac Advisory Committee and a professor of surgery from Duke University, his comment was, well, okay, but it would be inappropriate for me to tell another surgeon how to run his team. And then, of course, I made the little remark in the article, what's a few cases of hep C among friends,
Oh, it's just a side effect, It's just the cost of being in the hospital. Nothing to worry about if you get hepatitis. Just...
Well, it's certainly nothing for that doctor to worry about. He's
right.
already got it, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't have to worry about that. So anyway, what's happening now is that they're cutting corners, and they're not really sterilizing things properly. Is that
well? They're certainly. certainly a lot of that. There's certainly a lot of that. There is, as I mentioned, alternative methods have come up. There's something called high-level disinfection, which is, I don't want to get too technical here, but it's sort of a watered-down way of, if sterilization means killing everything, high-level disinfection can be simplified into, well, killing the important things. You know, there's really no pathogens there. And actually, high-level disinfection is not necessarily that bad. But there are techniques that, in fact, there's one product that's used in, there's 16,000 of them out there. It got a very, let's say, shady FDA approval. I only use the word shady because it has never been explained to me or other people have looked into it why this particular device got the approval that it did. But anyway, it's called a sterilization unit for so-called reprocessing for scopes. And it's got a very short cycle time, about 45 minutes. However, there are serious issues with this device, and it has been proven to have caused at least a couple of deaths. There's a big lawsuit in Allegheny County Hospital over this, where they even brought in the famous forensic pathologist Cyril Weck, that I'm sure your listeners have seen on TV in various capacities. And he determined, as you would like this, well, of the four deaths that occurred, two of the people probably would have died anyway, which I thought was a little vague, but two of them were based on the use of this machine, which has a particular problem in rendering the devices actually not sterile and probably septic, which is even worse. But this company gives a lot of money to the Association of Operating Room Nurses, and the operating room nurses like it because it's easy and quick to use. The fact that it infects patients, well, you know, collateral damage.
Well, I'm going to ask you about things like knee surgery. And when we come back, we'll explore those devices. And this is Raymond Francis. You're listening to Beyond Health. And we'll be right back after these brief messages.
A smooth flowing bloodstream is vital to good health. And one of the keys to maintaining that smooth flow is Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Kyolic accelerates circulation, revitalizes cells, and keeps blood platelets from sticking to each other or to artery and capillary walls. You see, the body produces an amino acid called homocysteine. If left unchecked, high homocysteine levels can become a serious health risk. Today, many health experts believe that homocysteine is more of a risk factor than cholesterol. And Kyolic is the only garlic supplement patented to reduce homocysteine levels, a major risk factor for arteriosclerosis and coronary heart disease. In fact, Kyolic is the only